website. I ask elected members if they wish to foreshadow a declaration of interest in any matter on the agenda tonight. If not, we'll just keep moving through, that's fine. Would somebody like to move confirmation of the minutes, both of this last special general council meeting and also, sorry, that's the general council meeting 11th of December, the special general council meeting of 22nd of January. Moved, Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Masika. All those in favour? Carried unanimously, thank you. The communications reports, unless there are any questions, someone like to move, they'd be accepted. Moved, Councillor Argenson, seconded Councillor Schilling. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously, thank you. Now, there is a deputation, so you're aware that one of the, probably the major item in some respects on the agenda tonight is the BMX question, and we have Mr. Trevor Wigg with us, so I'd invite Mr. Wigg to come forward to the front here, and Mr. Wigg will have 5 minutes to make a statement and also particularly to answer any questions that elected members may have.
Thank you to Mayor and elected council members for making this time available for myself as representative of the BMX community, I guess, and narrowing it down to the Cove BMX Club and Happy Valley and BMX SA. I'll make this as quick as I can. I guess I thought it was timely to have a quick reminder on some of the things that have been spoken about and discussed. There's been a lot of water go under the bridge since this first started. Sorry, my name's Trevor Wigg, and I've been with this project from the start as far as BMX is concerned. So I just thought I'd go over some quick points. Some great benefits, I guess, for this project would be around club and the sports exposure, and increased memberships around that, and of course, you know, a new track and what that would create in excitement and that around the BMX community and the local community as well. Revenue to local council areas was something that got this started, I believe, with BMX's unique ability to bring a lot of people into the local council areas. It is something where you have nationals and national series and things like that, where we get you know, up to 2,000 entrants, which means up to maybe 5,000 people to the council area, using restaurants and accommodation, shopping centres, and also tourist destinations after a lot of people stay on. As far as the events are concerned, it's already been proven that BMXA or BMX Australia and UCI are willing to award events to venues that are purpose-built. In the last 8 years, the national championships have been awarded to the Sleeman track in Brisbane 3 times, which is now no longer in that category and up for selection for or to be used. Then there's Shepparton twice and Bathurst once in the last 8 years. All these tracks are either purpose-built or have been upgraded to suit the need. In the coming 2 years, there's also an international supercross round that's been awarded to Shepparton and Bathurst, so they are the two that have been purpose-built. So there's definitely good record there around the UCI and BMX Australia's ability or willingness to award these events. And I have all of that on very good authority through BMX Australia. I guess in this also, you know, the lesser of the series around national series, we've proven that we can win those in just the track we have. We've won a national series for this year, and thanks goes to council in some assistance with funding and those sorts of things over the last 12 to 18 months. So if we put that sort of work in, we can definitely get those competitions to site. I guess around the actual sites, and that's what a lot of the conjecture and everything's been about the last sort of year or 18 months. I don't know what is in store as far as sites. All I know is that the site that was first proposed through a feasibility study certainly had a long process gone through with the feasibility study to point out that the Majors Road site was the one to go to. Obviously, since then there's been monetary issues around excavating and things like that. One of the things I would say is that if you look at all BMX sites, probably 80% of them are actually dug into the ground because of the spectator fact and also for wind, to get away from the wind and that sort of thing. So it's not something that's unusual, except that maybe there's maybe a little bit more depth needed depending on what the surveyors say with the land. So that's not out of the norm unless you had a side of a hill to dig into or something like that. So, but again, that site has already had a lot of work with the soil tests and water availability, power, and all that sort of thing. So I'm not saying that it must be it, but it's definitely had a lot of work happen there. So also that site has mountain biking. And has a lot of room there. It would have allow us to, I guess, fill the void of the possible closing of the Cove BMX Club track in the club building a pump track up there through volunteers, allowing to keep that A site available for community. The great other thing around that site is that there's bicycle paths that lead from Hallett Cove, from Morfitt Vale, Shido Park and those sorts of areas. Which makes it more accessible.
Thank you. That was a full 5 minutes.
Wow.
Which hasn't really left time for questions. If there are any burning questions, members. Otherwise, thank you, Mr. Wick. Take that into account in our deliberations. Thank you. I propose to just go through with the agenda as we have it in front of us. So the next item, committee recommendations, the Finance and Audit Committee minutes, page 98, and I particularly commend the comments about Treasury management on page 106 to members, but in any case it's normally just a routine recommendation to move that the minutes be received. Moved, Councillor Lescu, seconded Councillor Telfer. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. And now we get on to a series of confidential items, and I think this might entail quite some discussion. So I dare say that maybe for half an hour or more, we'll go into a confidential session, and assuming that people move the confidential motion, which is before us on page 108, get into Finance and Audit Committee minutes first, and then the BMX project, various aspects. So, someone like to dealing first with the Finance and Audit Committee confidential minutes. Would somebody like to move? Councillor Clancy, thank you. Councillor Gard seconded. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. So, folks, unless you're one of those staff members or elected, or one of the staff members named on page 108, I'll have to ask you to leave for now. And as I say, it may well be another half an hour before we get back into open session. So we've got Mr. Skull, Mr. Mifsud, Ms. Dixon, Mr. Lyons, Ms. McKenzie, Ms. Moritz, Ms. Zub, and Mr. Salmon. BMX project alternative site options for delivery of the Sam Willoughby BMX facility. There are two alternative motions, and there's also the possibility of deferring it if council wishes. I am in your hands. Councillor Gard.
Mike's on. I would like to move this motion. I did send through an additional point for the consideration of elected members.
If I may ask, Councillor Gard, which motion?
Sorry. We're talking about the BMX option one, yes. So in blue is the third point that I added. I had some doubts about the way the point two was expressed in regard to clearances with the state government, including the ramp facility that is being explored at the moment at the cost of $200,000, and also the order. I think common sense would tell most of us that the order would be we'd confer with the state government before we went into any serious planning. But I just thought it was best to actually express that. So there's really no change in context, just clarification. But I do support that option. Yes, I think probably it's been said time and time again that this is the site. It comes back to money. We have debated this very thoroughly. I've always felt it was the site. I will admit I've had sincere grievances about the, or doubts, put it that way, about the provision of space for a future ramp, which I believe is vital to the area and to other areas. And so that was the only sticking point for me. But I do feel that when you look at the integration of sports in that area that we're heading into, it makes for a really supreme setup for our city. So I certainly do commend it.
So this is the Majors Road option, and commitment of an extra $1 million subject to the traffic impact being sorted. If this motion fails, then I'll invite someone to move the alternative motion or something else. This is the tester. Okay, is that seconded? Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, this has been a roller coaster ride, members. We've pretty much exhausted many of our options to the detriment of both BMX clubs, but I think we've reached the end of the line as far as searching for an alternative. Why do I think Majors Road? Yes, I'm not happy about the extra $1 million. I'm hoping it won't be that, but let's say worst case scenario, which we have to plan for, and we do spend the extra $1 million. Well, what do we get? We get a site in a sporting precinct, which we've been promoting. We get a site that can be expanded for BMX. We can get a pump track there for people who aren't able to use such a high ramp and track to still use as a public site. We get the benefit of co-locating with Mountain Biking SA, where they can use the car parking, the facilities, toilets, etc., and we can unite all the bike paths and everything in one area. I'm hoping, there's no guarantees, it's literally a hope, that we can get further car parking built by Mountain Bike SA or assistance, which will also reduce the cost to council. The other reason I prefer this site is it has huge economic benefit for the City of Marion. We've seen from the report, when we build sporting clubs and other venues, they're great value for well-being, for sport, for healthy living, but they don't produce the economic benefit to the degree of this track. My belief is that Onkaparinga see the economic benefit and the amount of benefit it can generate in the community, and that's why they would prefer it. If fairly and squarely in their council area. My hope is that this will bring some life to Hallett Cove Shops, will bring some life to O'Halloran Hill Shops. They're not in our council area, but they're close by, and it will value add to things like Glenthorne Farm and make that whole precinct more of a community asset. And for those reasons, I am prepared to invest an extra $1 million, and I believe we'll get that money back, just like we did with the LED lighting and solar and projects like that. Thank you.
Speaking against, Councillor Pfeiffer.
Yes, Your Worship, but can I ask a question or two first?
Yes.
Thank you. Look, what I'm interested in knowing is what is the actual difference between a UCI standard track, of which, let's not forget that Edwardstown Oval Velodrome is essentially UCI standard, and a full national / international standard track?
Mr. Salmon.
Thank you. Through the chair, a UCI track has a ramp of a certain size, certain dimensions, has to meet certain quality to the construction, and an international, I believe it's suitable for any kind of event. Anecdotally, international events are usually held under a roof, and that's why it's never been within the scope of this project to have an international track. It's a UCI standard track to attract national events primarily, and for the local clubs and developing athletes.
Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you. Can just one other question along a similar line is, you know, I may be straying into debate, and please pull me up if I am, Your Worship. What's the actual need of the clubs here? Is it a international / national standard track, or is it a track to replace the two existing tracks?
Mr. Salmon?
The history of the project, my understanding for my time, was that there's no UCI standard track in the state, and a proposal was put to the state government, or by the state government to this council, I'm not sure of the order, where the state government promised their contribution of $2 million if a UCI standard track could be developed, and that's always been the case. The funding's tied to the UCI component, that's what we've always looked at creating. As far as what the clubs actually need, I've only ever heard them express support for the UCI standard track, but as Mr. Wigg mentioned in his deputation, they've got the nationals at their current facility, so I don't know, I'm not qualified to say what they actually need and what they would like to have.
Mr. Salmon, can you just differentiate if there is a difference between a track built to UCI standard and a track built which can attract international UCI events?
I believe they're the same. I think our track could hold an international event, but what we've heard is usually the international events are held under a roof, and from discussions we've had with the Office of Rec and Sport and Racing, if internationals came to Adelaide, we wouldn't be guaranteed to host it. It may still be held at Wavell Showgrounds or the Entertainment Centre or something like that.
Mr. Wigg earlier made reference to Shepparton and maybe some of the Victorian city, I'm not sure. Were they undercover sites?
They're not undercover, and I think he was referring to a supercross. So they're national events, and there's two types of international events I've learnt today. There's that one that he's referring to, and I think he referred to another one called a supercross event, which is slightly different, but also at a national level.
Ms. Dixon?
Through the chair, if I can add, some of the feedback from both clubs is this improved, much higher standard of track would allow their clubs to be competitive in a growing competition sport as well, because they'd have facilities to be able to train on, which they would then be competing on similar facility.
Pfeiffer, I'll give you a bit of... Your time was frozen. You're lucky.
I didn't realise I'd actually started speaking. I thought I was asking questions there.
Well, no, that's included in your...
Okay, let's start again, shall we? Look, I've been on the record throughout, both in the Chamber and in the last Council on the Strategy and Infrastructure Committee, I am a strong supporter of this project and I remain a strong supporter of this project. It is really important that we get something great for these two clubs. What I've also been concerned with throughout is the cost, and that's the only thing. It's the cost. It's the fact that we have to sink $1 million into digging a hole before we start building anything. It's $1 million hole before we start building a thing. Furthermore, as soon as we commit to this, then you can essentially assure that DIPT will be pushing that additional $1.5 million for a traffic solution onto us. I think our ability to negotiate not spending that 1.5 is severely limited then. So then it's not, the worst case scenario then isn't a $1 million shortfall, it's a $2.5 million shortfall. I love the site. I just can't see how it works. Look, I want to come back to what the need of the actual clubs is. We've got two BMX clubs that are sited in poor locations for various reasons. We need a new site that is going to be sited in a great location. I'm still not convinced that we actually need the full site that can UCI standard or international standard or whatever that can actually attract those events. Hey, it'd be nice to have, but we've just heard it might not be actually guaranteed to get those events anyway because it's not under a roof. So I feel like we're using a sledgehammer to crack a nut and we're still not even quite cracking the right nut. My position is that I think we would be able to do a better quality facility down south. Yes, it would be really nice to have it in our patch, but we've gone through so many options here, including effectively what's on the table in front of us now. We've built a great reputation in the previous council, which I think is carried over into this council for financial responsibility. Spending $1 million on a hole doesn't feel to me to be that responsible way of going forward. Thank you, Worship.
Thank you. And a question that arises from that. On page 117, there is reference to traffic management. But can I have a clarification from staff about the extent to which the Department of Transport has said you must have a traffic solution, you must pay for it, or is it just something that's contemplated, Mr. Salmon?
Through the Chair, this information has come about from discussions we've had with staff at DIPTI. This development, if it was to proceed, would need a development application, and we know that there would be a referral to DIPTI under the Act for them, and they'd have direction under that provision, meaning that the relevant authority would have to take the advice of DIPTI, and therefore what their staff advise us is we need to take it quite seriously, and those staff advise us that they would expect, if this was referred to them, that they would be asking for a solution such as a roundabout or a traffic light type treatment. Their main concern is the four-way intersection that's created, and we have looked at lots of other options to avoid that, and we can't come up with a viable one.
So if this motion is passed, council commits the extra $1 million for the digging, etc., then we go through a planning application, and DIPT has said we can expect to get a direction that we must then, or there must then be, a traffic solution which would probably cost about $1.5 million and we would be expected to then fund that. Is that essentially it?
Yeah, they've indicated they have no budget currently for this intersection, so it would have to be something that we lobbied for politically as well as through the staff level asking and expressing a need for it.
Okay. Councillor Crossland, I think you've had your go. Really? I'll give you one question, that's it.
We'll commit $1 million, subject to the state government addressing any traffic management issues on Major's Road. I've interpreted that, and maybe different to Councillor Pfeiffer, in that we're not willing to contribute to the traffic problems. If there are any, that's the government that have to address that issue. If it's not firm enough, then I would look for an amendment. At the moment, we're not offering to pay for any traffic solution. We're saying it has to be addressed by the state government.
Right. Well, I'll take that as an additional contribution, actually. But Any other speakers in favour or questions? Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Worship. Could we tighten up that wording, perhaps with the mover and seconder, to say rather than addressing, but addressing and funding? Yeah, just to make it clear for everyone. That would certainly win me over.
Well, if you were going to say, you know, provided the state government pays for a traffic management solution for Majors Road, then should you not also have a clause that says council notes that, you know, what Mr. Salmon said, that we can expect that the Department of Transport will be seeking that funding from council? I mean, I guess you can't really do that. I'm thinking on the spot, but it just seems somewhat, you know, raising false hopes with the community by saying, oh, yeah, we'll spend an extra million, but we won't spend a cent more than that, knowing full well that the state government's going to come back and say, if you want this to go ahead, it's another $1.5 million on top of your extra million.
Yeah, well, that's another conversation, but this I think, ties into it. You could give it back to the state government, because that traffic management solution is not just for BMX, it's for, if there's a problem with Majors Road, it's to do with Borough, football, Glenthorne Farm, you know, it's riding for the disabled. All those users need that traffic management solution. It's not just a problem because BMX might be there.
Well, sorry, order, I just have to correct any misconception there. Mr. Salmon gave the advice it's because of the four-way intersection that a treatment on Majors Road would be required. So it is actually specific to the BMX development.
Well, that intersection has now been activated past what they would have allowed by the Department of Water, whatever they're called now, because they're going to have an 80...
Well, order. I mean, you're giving your interpretation. I'm just pointing out that it's different to the advice we're getting from staff. Okay. I'm not putting my position in the debate, but I'm just uncomfortable about the fact that this is, in a sense, raising false hope, knowing full well that the Department of Transport is likely to insist on a traffic management solution which they will not pay for. But I guess that can just be, unless staff can come up with some suggested wording on the spot, I guess we can leave it at that, but it's unsatisfactory, really. Councillor Gard, do you want to chip in on that?
I was just going to suggest wording a little bit softer than that, which says, subject to state government addressing the traffic management solution, including funding, so that there's the ability for the case to be open before we go to design.
It is, again, not best governance practice to deliberately craft ambiguous resolutions. So I would caution council against that.
I mean, what I'm saying is that we shouldn't be preempting that the state government is going to fund or not fund, but that at least there be discussions about it before we go to design. So, in other words, we want to address the subject with the state government as to their traffic management solution.
Look,
but the matter would include the funding discussions.
Well, people aren't necessarily taking the mayor's advice. So, look, I'm going to leave it as the original motion as moved. If anyone wants to move an amendment, they can move a formal amendment. Councillor Hutchinson, you had the call. Did you wish to go any further?
Yeah, I'll move the formal amendment.
Thank you, Worship. I'll move the formal amendment that, subject to state government addressing and funding the traffic management solution for Majors Road, is my amendment.
Right. Thank you. That's clear. Addressing and funding. That's the critical wording. Did you wish to speak to that amendment? Then is that amendment seconded? Councillor Schilling, who wish to speak to the amendment. It's your chance also to speak in the whole debate. Then we have the amendment. Our practice is to vote straight away on the amendment. All those in favour? All those against? The amendment is carried, so that now becomes the motion. Now, I'll let people speak in the debate on either side of the debate. Councillor Blesker. Councillor, you said you'd like to defer. I'll give you the option, if you wish, to move a deferral. If you do, then you could either provide a date or to state until there has been informal briefing with elected members of the City of Onkaparinga or whatever you like.
I'll take advice from staff on that, just because I'd be running that.
It's very much up to your preference, but staff wish to comment? Ms. Dixon?
And so council could wait to hear what they resolve with that, or if you're wanting to have that joint briefing, then we'd need some time to coordinate that.
A joint briefing and also giving us the opportunity to talk to DIPTI, because obviously there is the intention for that last amendment that council probably doesn't want to pay that extra 1.5, so that we need to speak to them as well. But until we can, I would defer it until we can have a joint meeting or informal gathering with them to discuss the pros and cons of each option, to look at the options.
We'll keep the deferral motion as simple as possible. That's probably sufficient. It'll be pretty clear what's going to be discussed if that eventuates. You happy with that, Councillor?
Yep.
Elected members of the City of do we have to put and the elected members of the City of Marion, or is it obvious? Yeah, all right, it's obvious. So is that motion seconded?
Yeah, just quickly, look, I'm the same as Councillor Pfeiffer in this. I really do support this project. $1 million is getting towards a mark that I call, especially for a lot of money.
Councillor Pryor, sorry, I should have said it's a procedural motion, so we will put it straight away.
All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, the motion is lost. So we continue the debate on the Majors Road $1 million extra option. Those who haven't yet spoken can still contribute to the debate. Anyone else? Councillor Telfer.
It's been a difficult process. We have asked a lot. We have explored a lot. I believe we've thrashed this around a lot. I believe that getting two lots of people in a room, there will still be questions, there'll still be the problem of money, there'll still be the lack of surety. So at some point we have to, unfortunately, put a line in the sand.
So we decide tonight. Any other speakers? Otherwise I'll go back. Sorry, Councillor Pryor, I allowed you to start speaking on the procedural motion. My error, I apologise. But if you wanted to say further, I'll consider that you haven't yet spoken in the debate. If you want to. Councillor Pryor.
I've only really got one thing to add, and this is, like, I'm not too out of favour of the motion as it stands, but I really would like to do this with Dittai in our own time, behind closed doors, not as a, hey, you're going to fund this or else we're not going to do it, which is what it looks like to me. So I'm a bit sort of hesitant about that side of the motion. So it's really us going, well, you know, who's going to flinch first is what's happening, and I'm not very comfortable with that. I'd much rather we talk to Dittai and say, hey, listen, guys, you know, this project's looking like it's got legs if you can fix this, or if you can put this in your budget. So that's the way that I'd look at doing this, and that's why I'll vote the way I'll vote tonight.
I was getting the impression that maybe Mr. Salmon had already done that with Deputy Staff. Mr. Salmon, you want to just comment on that?
Yeah, through the Chair, we asked staff that question, and that was their response, that currently there's no budget for it. But, however, since then we have, at the direction of the INS committee, written a letter that you've signed off to the Minister requesting that he considers the importance of the matter, and that's where we were hoping that maybe Dittai would come to the party.
Well, I wrote to the Minister of Transport 2 weeks ago, placed the letter on the extranet for elected members. Typically, responses from the Minister for Transport take many months as a minimum for a response, and that's actually every Minister of Transport I can remember in living memory. Councillor Pryor, you want to finish off?
Just to continue, I mean, the letter was written before there was this ultimatum style motion on the table now. So the letter was written saying we'd like you to fund a $1.5 million intersection, not a $4.5 million project's going to go down unless you fund a $1.5 million intersection. I think there's quite a difference in the way it comes across, especially given the situation.
Yeah, the letter was probably a bit more generic about Majors Road as well. Councillor Valeski, you've spoken. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to start getting a bit strict here, unless there are any other speakers to the debate. Councillor Gard, to close the debate.
Thank you, Your Worship. Members, I think we have to really, really be very single-minded at this point. I think Councillor Telfer has said the words that we've thrashed it out. I think all parties out in the outside world are looking to us to take a stance. This is not all about expenditure, it's about return on investment as well. So if we're starting to argue the point about a project which is being 65% funded, which is a very unusually high figure, then we're really starting to look at shillings and pence. My point is, excuse the, no pun intended, Councillor Schilling, My point is that we must look as if we're decided on the value of a Majors Road site. I think we are decided. I think we're just going around the edges on money. We're ignoring the fact that we have yet to set a clear policy on borrowings, and that is imminent in the coming months. We're ignoring the fact that the BMX project is far more alive and well than a more mystical situation, say, at Mitchell Park. We also need to take into account that DIPTY are making noises of budget, not principle. And I think that's a very important thing. I believe that the case is there, that there are far more reasons for DIPTY to spend their money on their project than a mere four-way intersection caused by an occasional BMX attendance need. So all in all, we know the worth of the project. We know the value of the project to the community. To address Councillor Pfeiffer's query, I think it's more about the peak body and the need for BMX to get the shot in the arm that a true international competition is going to deliver. And so now is the time. I really believe that. I cannot see the worth of further consideration or further discussion with outside bodies. Let's get it done, and then we can talk about the nitty-gritties beyond that. Onkaparinga, I'm sure, will take a line through our forthrightness.
All in favour, raise your hand. All those against? That's carried. Division is called. All those in favour, stand in your place. Councillors Masika, Telfer, Hutchinson, Schilling, Duncan, Gard and Crossland. Just stay there a sec. Those against, Councillors Pfeiffer, Valescu, Clancy and Pryor. You may sit down, thank you. I declare the motion carried. We're on to page 129, Morfitt Park Oval Realignment. And I'll just give a preface to this one because we're considering the outcomes of the community engagement. I just want to pose a serious problem I see with the way we're doing community engagement. We send out flyers, and the flyers were fine. They established the pros and cons. They invited various means to respond. But then when people respond from the target area, if they send back a hard copy document, we know their address, generally speaking. If they email back, we don't necessarily know their street address. And I think it's potentially quite a distortion not to have the street addresses of the people who respond, because it provides scope for interested parties to skew the result one way or another. So that's why when I look at the results, you've got 75% if you look at the responses including emails, and you've got about 50-50 if you look at the street address responses. A drastic difference. And I think the email responses should be treated with caution, but it's up to you, members. Councillor Valescu, to move. Which
thank
option?
Thank you, Your Worship. I'll talk about the option in a minute. I guess this one here has been a hard one because obviously it's a pretty line ball as far as the local residents go. If it was just about the facility for the sports people, it would be very easy. You know, extend it and don't worry about the streets. But we do have to worry about the people in that area, and we do need to worry about the impact and, I guess, the extent of negative impact for people. We've done a fair bit in that area, and we've got more planned. We are closing Queen Street. And in all these responses that we've got from page 146 onwards, a key issue that comes up is parking. And both of these options don't actually do anything extra for the parking. In fact, one of the responses says you're taking, giving us 50 parks and taking away 32 or 35. I'm probably going to support an option which the club members, you know, may not think is the best one, and that'll be option one. I think we will have a slightly thinner oval, so it won't be 110 metres, it'll be 100. But we will have that access down Cobham Avenue. I think if we do some sort of traffic calming and have one lane access through what's the reserve and the oval, we still will allow some of that access. But otherwise, we're going to have a lot of people going around MacKellar Reserve, and we're also going to have a lot of people going out of their way. And as those places regenerate and we get more density, that issue is going to become more of a nuisance for more people. The other option, the other consideration is that option two is an extra $230,000. And if members are feeling generous with the reserve funding, I do urge you to maybe think about some funding for some extra parking in that area, because we will be needed, especially with the high levels of subdivision that are in the area that are going to exacerbate the issue, as well as the increased activity we'll get from the club. So it was a little bit of a hard decision, but I would urge members to support option one. It's less negative impact for the locals, considering the disruption already, and it is a cheaper option as well. Thank you, members.
Is that seconded? Councillor Clancy.
Report did show that people did put their address who were directly affected strongly opposed it, option two that is. It's a pity that we can't have a AFL standard oval with option one, but it is going to be an improvement, and we're also already closing part of Quinn Street for the club and providing new club rooms. So unfortunately it's not going to be the best option for the club, but I think for the community and people directly affected living nearby, option one is the better option. I'm also concerned that a lot of these residents don't want the complete closure, yet they're going to have to pay an extra $230,000 that's not budgeted for.
Thank you. So this is moved and seconded for the partial closure option. Anyone speaking against? Then I'll simply put Councillor Pryor.
Is there any? Was it actually looked at to do a partial closure on both Denham and Cobham to grab an extra couple of metres, or was that not looked at?
Avenue looked at, Mr. Who was it? Ms. Dixon. It was looked at. So. Please walk us through that.
I can bring the relevant staff member up if you'd like some more details, Councillor Pryor. Yep.
Well, Ms. Zubb will come forward, and I mean, having raised the issue, it's probably a fair question as to why there was no narrowing of Denham Avenue suggested in the report. Ms. Zubb.
Thank you. Denham Avenue was explored in looking at whether or not we do narrow Denham Avenue. The concern with narrowing Denham Avenue is what we're actually looking at doing with the project is expanding the car park, which is on the eastern side of the oval. If we narrow Denham Avenue, we potentially lose the pathway that links the car park up to the club room, and that's something that we considered that, look, you might lose a metre or two for the oval. However, you're going to continue to have that linkage and encourage people to remove from parking on the street and actually park off-street in that large car park facility. So that's where the decision came around, that maybe narrowing Denham Avenue wasn't the best option.
Okay. If there are no further speakers, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now let's get back to unanimous resolutions. Page 160, Shida Park Primary School, traffic and parking improvements. It's a perennial issue. It's a big and popular and successful school.
and it's great that council has worked with state government to improve the parking conditions there. Over to someone to move the motion. Councillor Schilling, do you wish to speak to that? Is that seconded? Councillor Duncan, do you wish to speak to that? Is anyone speaking against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. And the parents down at Shida Park will be grateful, I'm sure. Now on to CATS, page 162. There's the recommendation. Beg your pardon, have I missed something? Page 162, CATS. Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm happy to put the motion as printed, and all I wish to say at this stage is this is the beginning of a consideration process, and the decision won't be made until after a community consultation, so that council can consider some feedback from our residents.
Thank you. Is that seconded? Councillor Bulescu, you wish to speak?
I've got a question. If this passes through, do we have any options to have a period of leniency in education as far as the enforcement goes? Because sometimes when...
How about the last 15 years?
But just in regards to gives people a bit of an opportunity for them to get used to the changes. I know that this week they said in the news that people that are done for speeding past school zones will get a warning.
Councillor, there was some email traffic today dealing with elected member questions. One of the questions was of this nature, and Mr. Manuel from the Inspector Services said that the standard approach would be that offenders, if caught, would first receive a warning unless there were special reasons, and if someone re-offended and was caught, then they'd be facing an expiation notice, a fine, in other words. So that would be the approach that's taken. So there's, maybe I shouldn't advertise it, there's sort of a built-in second chance in a way, so the educational role is there. One must say that that's been habitually adopted in various contexts by the inspector's team over the years.
I'm just wondering whether that can be based on a time frame, because after a certain time, I think maybe we just say, look, you know about it now, people know about it, it's quite public, we'll stop giving these second chances.
Well, I don't know, it's probably easier to handle that administratively.
All right.
Mr. Skull? Anything to add?
No, I see no, thank you, Chair. I think what Mr. Manuel has put forward is a sensible way to make sure that the message gets across.
Right, so I was looking for a seconder, I believe. Did you second it? Yeah, Councillor Lescu, thank you. So is anyone speaking against? A question from Councillor Garr, yes, and it's your speaking opportunity as well if you wish.
Yes, in general context, I am in support of the motion. I think a lot of it is in the timing and the education. But there is another point that I'm interested in, and that is it's an extension of the education. Do we need to make allowances if we go into this bylaw in the foreseeable future for people to make the physical changes to their properties, to cat runs and things like that? Everyone's going to have a different view of what they want to do to control their cat. And so if we jump the gun on those people by too many months...
Councillor Garr, there'll be no guns involved, I can assure you.
Right.
And just to, reassure you on another aspect, the process is actually quite convoluted. So we go off first to the Dog and Cat Management Board. Subsequently,
because it is a council bylaw, it goes off to the Legislative Review Committee of the State Parliament, and that's in addition to a consultation process. So no one's going to be caught unawares overnight if this ever comes to see the light of day.
So just on that time quantification, what sort of aspirations do we have to introduce a new bylaw? By when?
So if it all went smoothly, how many months would we be talking about, Ms Dixon?
So through the chair, by June this year, we would go through the gazettal process, and then the bylaw doesn't come into effect until 4 months after that gazettal. So there would be plenty of time to provide information to the community about the changes and support them to prepare.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Duncan.
I'm going to be talking against the cat law for several reasons. We don't monitor the dog bylaws very well, and you can't police them, and I can't understand how you can police the cat laws that you're going to implement. Two, it's going to penalise all of the people who are good cat owners, and they're going to be suffering as a result of some of the few that don't look after their cats. There's also people who are on shift work, I've heard from the community, who don't like this idea because there's no way that they can keep the cats in if they're not home until 11 o'clock at night. That means that the cat has to be inside from, let's say, 2 o'clock in the afternoon till 6 in the morning, and it doesn't give them much time to be outside. To say that, okay, a lot of people need to have cat runs, but if you're looking at the dense housing that we're implementing in a lot of places, there's no space. So that means that they can't have a cat because they can't keep them inside overnight or at a certain period of time. So I've got a lot of queries about this cat law.
Thank you. Any others in favour? Then I'll ask the mover to close the debate. Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I'm not going to try and answer all those questions because I'm sure the consultation will throw up a lot more. All I will say is that I know people keep cats in high-rises and they work shift work and they seem to manage great. Look, I can't really say that we shouldn't bring a law in because it might not be policed. I don't really agree with that approach. Just to answer another question raised, I think whether or not to educate or enforce a particular bylaw should be left with the community safety officers, because there really are so many different variations of why people don't do the right thing that I think it's best to leave that to them. And as I said before, look, this is us giving the community a chance to have their say. We can listen then to what the community have to say before we actually make any decisions whether to take this forward. So I think this is the right approach because that's what council's about.
All those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against, carried by majority. So we move on to the next item. Auckland's wetland capital upgrades on page 176. So essentially, members, not all that controversial due to a quirk in the way we set up the Auckland's water accounting for our selling of water, etc. It left expenditures to come out of the Asset Sustainability Reserve, which would need to come to Council for decision, and in fact it's going to be much more convenient for all of us if there's a water reserve fund, and then managers within their delegation can expend funds as they need to in relation to water capital expenditure. Is that a fair summary, Mr. Lyons? Thank you. Councillor Pryor.
Yes, I can't endorse this more. I think it makes perfect sense to me that you would spend money that comes from our water supply back on our water supply, and there's no reason to come to council for most of these things. I think if there's something major, then council's the right place. I'll leave that to your discretion, Mr. Lyons. But
Look, and just to once again endorse the work that is going on, is in behind this. It's an amazing project and keeps delivering.
Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'll happily second that. Look, I think Councillor Price said it all. Thank you.
Anyone against? Questions? Councillor Telfer?
When we first did this, did we not spend $3 million and did we not say that we would use the income that was coming in from the water to offset that? And have we forgotten that?
Mr. Lyons.
So the income that's been coming has been quarantined, and you'll notice in the report that we've built up nearly $500,000 so far, the $450,000 there. So that's been our practice, and that's what we need to do as far as an ESCOSA rule. We need to quarantine that and make that a business unit by itself. The anomaly that we have is, as the Mayor correctly described, I can't do anything with that without coming back to Council for permission. So all this is doing is saying that we can make these operational decisions and spend the money wisely without coming back to a formal Council meeting.
So, Councillor Telfer, I accept it's an accounting fix, which probably should have been set up from the beginning, but do you have any further question?
No, I think we have short memories, but yeah, let's keep going.
Councillor Crossan, you had a question?
Yeah, just the wording on the it can only be quarantined for use in the Oaklands water business. I just wondered, and you might have half answered my question, Mr. Lyons, but can we actually use it for other water infrastructure that's for the benefit of residents, like further wetlands or further infrastructure will save us from buying mains water?
That's a really interesting and good question. At the moment, or the business is set up so that it sells water, it makes revenues, and then the revenues we can quarantine to plough back into that business unit. At the moment, the only business unit and the only sales that we have is from the Oaklands water business. I can't think of any other areas that would offer the chance for revenues, but I also would suggest that if they came up that we could amend that business centre and its description to include them if necessary.
Now, I don't know much about water, but I know about words, and the resolution as it's printed talks about specifically quarantined for use in the Oaklands water business. So my answer to Councillor Crossland's question would be no.
Yeah, that's
words,
what
it's
I was
meant
trying
to go
get
back
at.
Into
so,
that same
so we
project.
Can, we can only reinvest in Oaklands, which means that if we've got nothing to spend the money on, it just builds up and can't be used.
Well, we will have things to spend money on because we'll need renewal and replacement and all of those sorts of things over the next few decades.
If there are no further questions...
If I may, sorry, to continue on that, we will be developing an asset management plan for that asset too over the next couple of years, which will plot those revenues and expenditure streams.
If there are no further questions, then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thanks very much. Now, shortly thereafter, we have page 178, the tour down under. You'll see, I think, from the report itself, the dubious value of having such an event within the city of Marion, but it's there for council consideration. Councillor Valescu.
I was around on council when we considered this last time, and one of the arguments was, when we voted against it then, is that we'll miss out on, Lance Armstrong. We never get a chance to see him again, and we blew it. So, I think these sort of events, closing and beginning sessions, are probably best. You get more in the rural areas. I think it provides a lot more there. I also think it's not just the cost, it's actually the opportunity cost in our staff doing these remediations, and I'd rather they do it on stuff that needs to get done. So, you know, we are looking at, you know, 90,000 based on the last report and probably 140,000 for infrastructure. I think we're better off our staff doing it. Our residents won't need to go far because they'll be able to, there'll be something nearby. They'll be able to see them go past, and, you know, they could go somewhere for a bit of a day trip if they really want to see the beginning and end. So I endorse the option to not pursue this any further.
Thank you, Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yeah, I recall that as well. I think we might have even formed a committee to look into it from recollection. Anyway, I agree with the motion as put by Councillor Velescu. Councillor Crosland and I, you can see in my Deputy Mayor report, Councillor Crosland and I actually attended a stage of the tour down under on behalf of Council a week or so ago, and it was fantastic. It was a great day. It was a great event. I think, as we've shadowed before, I think for a country or the rural or semi-rural community, yeah, absolutely, there would be economic benefit back to that community. For more of a metropolitan community, I'm not seeing huge payback, and I think the amount of pain that would cause potentially for everyone else in the community could be quite significant. Fantastic event, big supporter of it, love going along to it. I don't see a huge payback for our ratepayers.
Thank you. And just on that point of pain for residents, I noticed that on the day that there was a leg maybe commencing at Glenelg, the route took the cyclists somewhere near the intersection of Diagonal Road and Oaklands Road, and there was traffic mayhem. There was no signage to warn motorists, and for a lot of people there's no other easy way around apart from tramping through the suburbs. Now, question, was Marion Council notified, and if so, why didn't we prepare some sort of appropriate signage for motorists to say, between 10 and 11 a.m., expect traffic mayhem?
Through you, Chair. We're not aware up here whether we were informed about the potential traffic hazards, so I can't answer that question, but we're not aware that we were informed, although I have heard that it caused some major snarls.
Well, if that happens again and we're not advised, I expect the cyclist to be fined for riding more than two abreast. Okay. Councillor Gard, you had a question?
Your Worship, I merely want to ask if at any stage on this sort of subject, namely the sponsorship of high-profile events and organisations, another one is the South Australian Jockey Club, whether we have done any marketing research of our residents and businesses in regard to their perceptions and their desires for us to act. And the reason for my question is that a little bit like the BMX track, there is another side to the ledger, because those sorts of events, Tour de France sorts of events and Tour Down Under, bring an enormous amount to the local economy. We know that, and it, for a sustained period of time, 3 weeks in some cases, we know that. And in the case of the South Australian Jockey Club, we have an industry on its knees, and a lot of the employees, some 3,500 FTEs, are employed in our city. So I think it is a fairly serious subject we're grappling with, and I would like to know if there's any science been applied as to public perception.
I'll ask Mr. Lyons about that. Just on the economic benefits, of course, a necessary part of the equation is having the tourism infrastructure to benefit from a starting point. So how many people will be staying in hotels in the city of Marion if we had it running down Marion Road? Question mark. Mr. Lyons, Mark?
Councillor Gard, I'm not aware of any marketing research that has been done on that. I'm going to ask, Mr. Clark is confirming that, so no, we're not aware of that at this point.
Any other speakers? Then I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. I was against the negative.
That's carried by majority, so we've put the local tour down under start off track for now. Page 182, CEO performance and remuneration review timeline and approach. Just pretty well what you'd expect it to be, I guess. Anyone to move? Councillor Masika, did you wish to speak to it?
As indicated, has been outlined. And I would like to recommend for the recommendation to be accepted and also the matter to be referred to the committee which involved with the reviewing up the performance of the CEO.
That's it. It has already been looked at by the Review and Selection Committee, as Councillor Masika alludes to. Is that seconded? Councillor Telfer, wish to say anything? All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. On to page 188, the GAROC and the SAROC are the two new local government groupings of councils. The GAROC is the metropolitan one, and together they become sort of an electoral college for the actual LGA board. Now, at the moment, there is absolutely no member of the metropolitan group from Southern Adelaide. There was a casual vacancy left by the dearly departed Deputy Mayor Byram. At LGA level, I've criticised their governance processes whereby they appoint their members to their governing bodies and then have a council election within days, which can render people basically kicked off the governing body. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But anyway, that's LGA land. Now, look, I had a word with Councillor Pfeiffer, and he has some interest in the role. I'd certainly commend him if he wishes to be nominated. Would somebody like to move? Councillor Crossland?
Tim Pfeiffer for the position.
Thank you. Wish to speak to that?
No, I think that pretty much sums it up.
Seconded, Councillor Pryor. Nothing further. If there's no one, I should ask if any other. Oh, Councillor Pfeiffer, are you willing to stand?
Look, if I can seek leave for a moment to speak to it.
So I think you should.
Yeah, thank you, Your Worship. Look, and as a result of our discussion about 4 or 5 weeks ago. Yes, I am prepared to stand. I think there's some logic behind it from a couple of perspectives. Firstly, it was a deputy mayor of the city of Marion who vacated the seat, so it seems logical that a deputy mayor either or someone from the southern region, not necessarily me, not necessarily a deputy mayor, but someone from the southern region at least throws a hand up. Look, I feel from a perspective in terms of my professional background with career, at least for the last decade or so, in senior strategy and planning roles in a heap of different industries, I can probably bring a lot to the table. I have a fairly clear, logical head and that sort of on those sort of decision-making considerations. And look, the other thing is, I've obviously had 8 years of experience sitting around here, but I've also had experience sitting on the other side of the fence within a council administration as well. So I look from that perspective, and as the Mayor pointed out, there is no one from Southern Adelaide on this particular body, I think. I'd happily accept the nomination, so thank you.
Now, unless there are any other nominations, but that might be stretching it a bit, Councillor Valescu? Yes, question? Probably he should leave the room. Thank him for his personal explanation. Accept the point of order. Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Please invite Councillor Pfeiffer back in. Now, councillors, we've made surprisingly good time. Might have cost us $1 million along the way, but we've made good time. I can suggest that the corporate reports for noting from pages 212 to 269 are uncontroversial as far as I can see. The first several reports on the RSL car park, coastal walkway, Hallett Cove Sea Pool, interim capital works review are all reports that are coming back basically for a check-in, and more substantive reports will come back later. It is good practice to put a timeline and make the staff come back with a report, but in reality they don't always have the requisite answers when the time comes. So that's the case there. We've also got the finance and safety stuff in there. There's also a reference to the LGA annual general meeting back in October. It's so far a go now. I could give you a lot more information about it. I certainly spoke out against the increase in pay rates for LGA board members, etc. But it's really just so much water under the bridge now, I suppose. So if you'd like to, somebody could move all of those reports en bloc. Councillor Hutchinson, seconded Councillor Telfer. Councillors are welcome to ask questions or make comment on any of the reports in that series, if you wish, before I put it to the vote. But if not, I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour? Carried unanimously, thank you. So all of those reports are duly noted. And I can tell you that our guests have arrived now for the item that's set out on page 270. We have someone from, can I say who or not? Maybe not, but it's clearly to do with Oaklands Park. What else can I say? It's potentially, the Oaklands Park Urban Renewal Proposal. We had a last minute request for a deputation. So, Councillor Hutchinson moving the confidentiality clause. So, seconded Councillor Hutchinson. Sorry, seconded Councillor Crossland. All those in favour, it's carried unanimously. So with regret to members of the public, we're going to go into confidence again, and quite possibly for 30 to 45 minutes, so there won't be a lot more public business after that. And I welcome Mr. Jeff Smith, Mr. Matt Clemo, and someone else. But I'm sure she'll be introduced in a moment. So please come forward, and we'll... Oh, maybe I wasn't meant to mention their names. I'll have to ask members of the public to clear the gallery, please, before we commence.
Thank you, Worship. Do we jump a few items there? No? Okay. Fair enough. Thank you, Worship. Look, in regard to this one, I'll move it fairly quickly. As councillors are aware, there was an incident with the pool in the not-too-distant past. Mr. Skull emailed us in regard to that incident a day or two later. This is a case where these staff were simply just doing their jobs. They were just doing their jobs, and that's what they're paid to do. But it's because they are doing their jobs, and they are doing their jobs impeccably well, that this kid's life was saved. It's been noted by others who were there, including ambulance officers, that the staff members there were exceptionally fast in their response and exceptionally professional, and they did it absolutely perfectly. Now, again, just doing their jobs, but I think a commendation from council through via the mayor, I think, is entirely appropriate in this situation. Thank you.
Yes, Your Worship. I'd like to I would like to second up the motion which has been put by Councillor Pfeiffer, that although he said that these people are being paid to do the job they are doing, but coming from the medical point of view, they did more above what they are required to do. So I would recommend, I would like to second that these staff to be acknowledged and be for the work which they've done above what they're supposed to do.